Kiss and Tell, podcasturile Kiss FM.
Hello.
Hey.
How are you?
I see you also, but unfortunately here in the radio studio I don't have the video camera, you know.
No problem. No. Actually, I don't know why this is Cornelius' account. This is from a friend of mine.
Ah, okay.
But so it doesn't really matter for the interview, right?
It happens to me, you know, from time to time to open my laptop and to open the email of one of my friends. It's like, what is this? I never received this, you know? I don't know this person.
Yeah. So that happened.
I'm very happy to see you and to talk with you again after all these months, because we talked back in Cluj at Untold when... Even if outside Romania things were a little bit more complicated, we relaxed like we do in this part of the world a little bit, and we did the festival. So I remember your feeling back then and what we talked back then. And first of all, I would like to welcome you to this podcast, to this interview for Kiss FM. I would like to thank our friends from Never See and Untold for helping us making this possible. And I want to ask you first, this year we will have a double dose of Tujamo in Romania, because you will be at Never See and Untold in the same summer.
I'm so happy about this, because usually I know most of the people, they only play one of those festivals. Yeah. They play either Untold or Never See. And this year they asked me like, hey, do you want to play both festivals? And I was so happy. Yeah, so that means like you said, it's going to be in double dose.
Exactly, double dose of Tujamo. I want to ask you also...
Hopefully not an overdose.
We will not... we don't mind if we have, I don't know, this year... Two sets of Tujamo, two different festivals, but double sets each time.
Yes.
Maybe they heard me. You know, speaking about festivals, I want to ask you, because the world started to reopen and big events are happening again. How does it feel for you to be back on the stage? I mean, it's at the same intensity and the same number of shows like you had before 2020, or you are taking it slowly and trying to adapt it to this new reality?
So to be really honest, it's going to be a little bit of a longer answer, but when the whole pandemic happened, I was almost like falling into this little dark hole, and I was like, yeah, what am I gonna do? Like it was so weird, because I was constantly, before the 10 years before COVID, I was constantly on the road, like every day I was traveling, flying here, been to different countries, and then from 150 to zero within like 2 weeks. And then I slowly in the pandemic I felt more and more, let's say, comfortable, like staying at home, like getting enough sleep. And then I was like, kind of, yeah, like I don't want to say enjoy it, because it was a tough time, but my body, I could feel like my body really enjoyed a little bit of peace, if you know what I mean.
It's office worker to a famous DJ like you, you know, to feel the need to disconnect from time to time. I mean, let's say this was
a moment of less stress. Exactly. Because it was also stressful. Exactly. And then I remember in the middle of the pandemic, I told my agent like, yo, when we come back to shows, I want to take it easy. I want to be a little bit slower. I want to choose the festivals better. I only want to do the shows I really want. And this is what we're going to do. But I'm still surprised how busy my calendar already is. So
yeah, there is this hunger. You know, this hunger for events, for party, for getting
exactly.
back weaker.
Exactly.
Recovering.
And to be honest, in the beginning, I was a little bit afraid, because I saw, okay, it's going to be intense again. But now I did the first few shows and festivals, and I'm so happy to be back, because now I realized like, okay, this is exactly what I need. This is exactly what makes me happy. And so, yeah, I'm just happy that we are back. It was a real time, I think, for all of us. I think for most of the people, it was even worse than for me, because I was lucky. I mean, I could finally work on some music. I could rest. But yeah, it was weird, and I'm just happy that we are back finally.
How many songs have you written in these 2 years?
Same. You really want to know?
Yeah. I heard numbers from 150 to 500 to, I don't know, but I'm curious with you.
I think like written songs in this room in the last 2 years, probably a few about 100.
Wow.
But I'm gonna release maybe 70 of them, because like in the beginning when you're writing a song, you're always like, oh, this is amazing, and then the next day you wake up and you hear the song again and you're like, maybe it was not the best day yesterday. So
afraid a big number of productions like you mentioned earlier would keep you from trying to create something new. Aren't you afraid that you will be more comfortable and say, okay, I have these 100 songs, let's try to exploit them and see what we can get the best of from these, but no need to create something new? I mean, it would be an obstacle for you to try to...
No, it's even better, because I know there are at least 30 songs. I know they are gonna come out no matter what, because I really like them, they are timeless, I can release them, and it's already planned. And that gives me a little bit of the, let's say, a little bit of the relaxed feeling to get into a new project with a more clear mind, you know, because it's not good to sit in front of an empty project knowing, oh my God, I need a song now. That's so much pressure that doesn't work with creativity. So I'm just happy that I know there are a couple of songs in the pipeline, and it gives me a lot of freedom to stick a little bit outside of the box and check a little bit, okay, what's going on in this genre and in that genre. I'm still a producer, I'm still an artist, and I really like to discover.
How do you succeed to keep the balance in between the production side, artist side, festival side, I don't know, maybe entrepreneurship? Remember you told me stuff about things that you do a part of the music career. How can you keep the balance in between all of these and give, let's say, 100% to each one?
I think that's still my biggest problem, and that's still something I really need to learn, because I'm one of those persons, when I like something or when I do something, I don't do it with like 50%, I do it with 150%. And that keeps me a little bit, not really in balance, I would say, because the problem and also the good thing about it is that I really like what I'm doing. So that means I, every morning since maybe 12 years, every morning when I wake up, I'm excited to go into this room and create something new. That's something what you would say probably is something good, but that also keeps me away of the good side of life. So for example, I miss a lot of friends' birthdays, I miss a lot of family parties or whatever, because when I'm not here, I'm mostly like, let's say a normal week for me is from Monday to Friday here, and then flying out on Friday to some countries, play some shows. On Sunday, I come back, and then again and again, and this since 10, 12 years.
Let's go back and 12 years ago. Do you remember the first thoughts you had after you finished your performance at the first big major festival you performed at?
Yeah, I remember exactly, because the only thing I felt was most of the people are just, they are like flying. They are like, oh, I'm so happy. That was the best day of my life. And I was a little bit sad, because I said, oh my God, I want to do this again. And what if this is the only festival I'm playing? And that kept me hardworking, because I always wanted to have that feeling again. that's the truth.
It was not the one hit wonder type of, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
Speaking about festivals, how do you prepare your set for the festival?
Oh, I prepare a lot, actually, because my biggest fear is that the DJ before me plays the same songs I want to play. And so every single song I'm playing, it has been to my computer already and has been edited, and some a cappellas from other songs on top. So it's never an original song. It's always like a remix of a remix of a remix I'm doing. And I spend a lot of time doing this. But I love it because that gives me a little bit of the feeling I'm good prepared, you know?
Okay. Do you play songs from other DJs performing at the same festival with you? Or do you...
No, because that's also another thing. I always check, okay, who else is playing today? And then I, of course, have, for example, when Don Diablo is there, I'm going to remove all Don Diablo songs. Or when Hardwell is coming, I cannot play a Hardwell song. And so that keeps me refreshing my set over and over again, which is good. I think that's good. It's like... I would call it homework.
Yeah,
very, very important. Because I see many, many DJs, they just play and they don't really care. But I think it's part of our homework doing this.
A part of this homework.
And people deserve it, you know? They are waiting for, let's say, Untold or Never See. They are waiting for this for like the whole year. And sorry, but we have to prepare. We have to give them a wonderful time.
It's a story that you need to create.
Exactly. Exactly.
And adapt to the public.
Absolutely.
While they are feeling your music and based on their reaction. Speaking also about festivals, do you have any festival rituals or essential items? I mean, I don't go on stage without this, and I need to do this. I noticed on your Instagram, you know, one of your latest posts, I think, or story, favorite moment right before showtime.
13 hours ago.
So it's something that you usually do before for the show to put you in the mood?
Not really, to be honest, but I must say, and that was the reason why I posted it, I really like the vibe, like right before when you already feel like, okay, something is gonna happen, and that keeps building up the whole day. Like from the morning on, you know, okay, something is about to go down tonight, for example. And then I don't know, it's the whole vibe, but I don't really have a ritual. I don't think so. Maybe like sometimes I'm just together with the whole team and we are like, okay, have fun guys, don't forget to enjoy, and then we just start. There's nothing I really do, but I would love to have something.
Okay, we'll bring you some stuff from Romania when you...
Yeah, let's do that. Maybe we can start something.
You'll be on the seaside and then in Cluj, and something that you will carry on with you, you know, from now on at the festival. Speaking also about festivals, are there any unwritten rules among DJs, you know, during a festival?
Probably you said something already. There is like a rule that you never play a song of the DJ who's playing after you.
Okay.
That's something. But like really a rule? Good question.
Okay. Let's think about this.
I don't think so.
Why don't you answer to the next question? The coolest place where you worked, DJing or producing, okay? I see your room, your studio, your refuge when it comes to stay indoor and create and get your inspiration. But I assume you worked in an airplane during a flight, you worked, in a hotel after a show or before the show. Tell me a cool place that you remember, you know, where you instantly opened, your phone or laptop and started to write something.
There is one thing I always tell, and it's already a few years back. I remember I was once in Brazil on a tour, and there was this one club called Green Valley. I think it's still there. And I didn't know anything about it. I just saw a picture and it was huge. It was like 12,000 people. And the hotel was a little bit outside, but they never told me where exactly this club is. But it feels like you're driving 1.5 hours from the hotel to the club through the jungle.
Okay.
And it's like really in the middle of nowhere in the jungle. And then out of nothing, there is this huge club, which looks like a festival. You should Google it later on. It's
okay,
called Green Valley.
I will.
And I remember the first time I was there, I was sitting there up in the VIP area, and then I was like doing last minute edits for the show, And I was like, oh my God, my life is so crazy because I had this experience and it's still in my mind. It's one of those places which I never forget. Never.
Okay, that's a good example. I mean, to write songs in the jungle and to perform.
Yeah, it was something like that because I wanted to capture the moment, you know, because I was so inspired. I was just sitting there with my laptop. Everyone was partying and I had my headphone on and was trying to make some music because I was so inspired.
Do you remember the first time you heard one of your songs on the radio?
Oh yeah, that was crazy because I was
like, my song is on the radio now, move to the station.
But it was different because I was in the car, I was driving and then I was like turning on the radio and the song was played. I don't really remember which song, but the song was played and I was like, oh man, because I thought I didn't turn on the radio. I thought I turned on, I don't know, Spotify or something. Yeah. And then I checked again and I was like, oh my God, this is not my phone. This is the radio. And that was unbelievable. And I even stopped the car because I had to make a picture and video of the radio playing my music. It was unbelievable. I still get goosebumps. I don't know if you see that. That was crazy.
Still get goosebumps when I open the microphone and I'm speaking. So feeling. But speaking about the radio, because it's important for me as a radio DJ to check this. For you as a festival big name, a DJ big name, producer big name, radio is important, still important. And I noticed among the DJs that are usually performing at the festivals, the idea of having a radio track as well is still important. Why? Considering this thing with the streaming and with Spotify and other services, and considering the awareness that you have as a festival DJ, you still want to create a commercial track that will go on the radio. How important is the radio for you?
I mean, I would be lying if I would say no, I don't want to be played on the radio, because to be honest, it gives you so much of reach. I mean, people are Shazamming on the radio, but it's, for me, I'm not like, maybe people don't believe me, but I'm not sitting here and I'm making music or for the radio, for example, because I want to get more money out of it or that the song becomes more famous. It's just, I think it has something special when you get played on the radio, you know? It's like, it's just something, it's a little bit like a goal, you know?
Yeah.
It feels like you want to reach that goal, like being played on the radio. It's not about any success or money or whatever. It's more like, am I able to play to produce a song which is getting played on the radio? It's a little bit like a challenge, you know? Yeah. So whenever I sit here with some friends and I play them some music, they are always like, oh, I can imagine this being played on the radio. This is perfect. And I'm always like, oh, maybe that could be something, you know? But it's more like that. It's more like it keeps me challenging. It keeps me being hardworking. It's really more like that.
Okay, so radio is important, which makes me very happy.
Absolutely, yeah, it is absolutely important. It is way more important than for example Spotify, because on Spotify people can look for your name and then they just play your music. But on the radio, you, for example, when you play songs on the radio, you play them to many people. They never heard about me, okay. And they need to be staying on the radio. You know, they need to. If they would switch off the radio because of my song, that would be bad for you. For example, like, I don't know if you check the stats or whatever. I don't even know how it works, but I imagine it's something like that. So I think it's really important. It's like the real life check for a song.
Okay, that sounds good. Speaking of change in the last 2 years, and not necessarily about the last 2 years, but your whole career as a part. If you reflect to your career so far, is it anything that you would do different?
Yes, absolutely. There's one thing. I would never sign any long contracts anymore with like management, booking agency, label, whatever, because it sounds weird, but it's a really dangerous place for like, for example, an artist is somebody who just wants to be creative. He doesn't want to do like any contract things. Yeah. But there is this other side in the business like there, I mean, and that the word business says it already, there are so many people, it feels like a shark tank, you know, they are just like swimming around you and looking for targets. And that happened to me quite a few times already. And this is something I would never do again, like just signing because you want to sign something. I would really think about stuff more and being more aware of who I'm going to work with. Because like right now, the whole team around me, I'm so happy with them. But it took me a few years to really realize who is good for me and who is not good for me. And that's something really important, that it's just a dangerous business. But I think in every kind of business, it's dangerous, you know?
As you said, I mean, that's why it's called music business, because it's a...
Exactly.
And of course, you as a producer, you need to be creative, relaxed, and you need people that will... are able to help you focus on what you do and not the business side, you know?
Yeah, that's the problem.
Is there anything that you needed to put aside so you can concentrate on your DJ career? Something that you dropped? I mean, you said 12 years of career so far, and something that...
I dropped a lot of friendships. Not that I said I'm not going to be a friend anymore, but I mean, when you're friends from back from school, for example, they do like 10 weekends in a row, they are asking you like, hey, do you want to come on Saturday? And you always reply like, no, I'm gonna be in I don't know where, I'm gonna be in Brazil, I'm gonna be in Italy, I'm gonna be in Romania. After 10 times, they never ask you again, you know?
Yeah.
And this is something what happens, this is something what I dropped. But besides that, I think I dropped my first job back in the days when I started working, and then I dropped the job because I said I'm gonna try to give 100% of my power to the music. But I think this is it. Yeah. But maybe it happens once in a while and I don't even realize it anymore, you know?
Okay.
I drop a lot of opportunities actually.
Let's speak about future, the near future. What are your plans for the summer of 2022? Anything we need to keep an eye out from you?
Yeah, actually, I'm gonna release a lot of music. Okay. I'm gonna release a lot of music because I'm just waiting, because I'm starting with my own label now, but it takes a little bit longer than expected. Yeah, but we are almost there. We are almost. So that's why I'm holding back all my songs, but once the structure of the label is there, I'm gonna release like song after song after song, and it's gonna be a lot of good music. But besides that, just for myself, my biggest goal for 2022 is to enjoy the whole thing even more, because that was something I almost forgot during the whole last 10 years, that it's not only like stress and hectic and shows. I just wanna sometimes like take a big breath and just feel like, oh my god, what kind of good life is this right now? And I just want to enjoy it a little bit more. That's why I always like the story what you've seen 13 hours ago was one of those moments, because I was sitting there, I could hear the people like screaming your name already, and I was like, oh man, this is such a good thing, and I want to yeah, I just want to enjoy it a little bit more.
Speaking of Instagram, before the shout out and the closure of the interview, I want to ask you, because I noticed you have around 264,000 followers on Instagram, and you know, is this trend with influencers and so on. Do you consider yourself an influencer on social media?
Oh, to be honest, I think my whole career, and it sounds weird, but it's true, my whole career could be probably 2-3 times bigger if I would speak on the phone every day. But to be honest, my whole energy goes into music. And I think there are two different kind of DJs. There are some kind of DJs, they talk to the camera the whole day, but forget about music.
Yeah.
And sometimes they are like super big because they are more the influencer kind of guys. Or they are the guys who are sitting here in this kind of room all day long, and I just forget about Instagram. I have to be honest, I'm not the biggest fan of it. I mean, I need to do it. And the only thing what I like is the connections to the fans.
Yeah.
I really like to read the messages, like a lot of messages from Romania, for example. It's one of those countries I get most of the messages from. And I really like this because that keeps me inspiring, but I hate the negativity of it. You know, sometimes you get like from very frustrated people, you get messages and they are like angry, and that just brings me down some kind of, and I kind of stop like focusing on Instagram. I get it when the career is not that big, because I'm not like influencing the whole day, I'm fine with it. I just love to make music, and when I'm making music, I forget about Instagram, and I think that's okay.
That sounded normal.
Yeah, it is. It is.
To social media, that sounded very, very normal.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, my man.
Shout out to all the people that will join us at Never See Festival in July, and we'll see you on stage, on main stage, on the seaside, because you performed Rantold, I remember.
Yes.
But I hope I don't make a mistake. You never been at Never See? You've been?
I've been.
Remember.
I think
you remember the feeling on the seaside, watching the sea and putting your music and people, you know, shouting out like crazy. Think about those people and say something to them.
Yeah, Romania. Honestly, I have to say thank you for the whole last, I don't know, I think it's been 6 or 7 years, and I'm so happy after a long break of 2 years and a whole lot of frustration and everything. I'm so happy to be back in July at Never See. And yeah, let's have the best party of our life. Let's enjoy the moments. And I really can't wait to see you guys.
Thank you so much. So
thank you, my friend.
Interview, and can't wait to see you on site. And we'll talk again, yeah?
Me too, my man. Thank you so much. Have a good day.
Kiss and Tell. Podcasturile Kiss FM.